from Raiders headquarters, the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center, on a very special day here for our radio show on Raider Nation Radio. I debut live from HQ. Before I begin, I want to thank everyone at the Raiders organization, everyone at Lotus Broadcasting, our team on the other side for doing this. And this is a great day that we can take the Raider Nation inside headquarters on a working day, a big day, where we have a couple of big guests and we're lined up and ready to roll. So as you watch on the Raider platform's YouTube and you get a chance to kind of sit behind the scenes with us here, we greatly appreciate you tuning in and your comments and everybody else here, because Raiders want to win, and I want to win as much as anybody. We want to get this thing rolling as the Raiders are traveling to Baltimore later on in the week to take on the Ravens, and we'll do a deep dive. Before I get to our guest list, I want to begin with a heavy heart for those on 9/11. And as we remember those lives lost on 9/11, the Raiders put out a very important tribute today. The rest of the country, as we look back on what happened 23 years ago today, I lost a fraternity brother at the top of Cantor Fitzgerald, James Joseph Kelly. That day, he wasn't able to come home to his 9, 7, and 4-year-old twin girls. Good news is he has a grandson, and they're celebrating his life today on a memorial in Long Island, New York. For all those who are looking back on that day, and we're thinking of you today as we begin. So as we get rolling, we'll be joined by the head coach of the Silver and Black, Antonio Pierce. He's got a busy day today. He'll join us in probably about 45 minutes or so. The great Lincoln Kennedy, the legendary Pro Bowl tackle, will join us in this time slot in about 15, 20 minutes every Wednesday. Also, a Raider insider will put into the rotation. Today we have Vinny Bonsignor from Raider Nation Radio and Vegas Nation. He'll come in. We'll talk about the game against the Chargers, the loss, and we'll preview the game ahead. And then Levi Edwards from the digital team. So this is what it's going to look like. It's going to sound like. Plus, we'll have a lot of B-roll of highlights, moments, and conversations here. And we're excited about this because, as I always talk about, big boy radio, right? We want to take the radio show to the next level. This does this. I believe it's the first radio show ever live streamed in the history of this organization, and I'm proud to be a part of it. So thanks in advance as we get going. All right, I want to begin with what happened Sunday in Los Angeles, because I haven't gotten over it in the last couple of days. I believe the Raiders blew an opportunity to go 1-0, a game they should have won, a game I think they could have won in the first half if they put a solid game together in the first half and did what they wanted to do as they deferred the kickoff to the second half, score on the final drive or close to the final drive of the first half, get the ball in the third quarter and score. And I think you could have saw the Raiders at a minimum of 14-3, potentially 21-3. You can do the math there, but the Raiders did not take advantage of that opportunity. Now, they were ready to play. Of course they're ready to play. The coaching staff had them prepared from everything they did in Costa Mesa to training to get as many healthy players as they could going into the game to be ready to roll, but they didn't play to the best of their ability. And most of the league didn't. As I mentioned all week on Raider Nation Radio, this was a disaster week for the NFL. There were so many bad games played in all markets, and half the teams lost, and the Raiders were in that basket, a basket they didn't want to be. But a lot of teams played poorly, and a lot of teams are staring at a tough game in week two. We saw an unbelievable performance by the Niners on Monday night. The Jets didn't look very good. The Bears didn't play well at all, and they squeaked out a win. Did you see what's going on in the number one media market? New York with the Giants, an absolute train wreck for the Big Blue Wrecking Crew. So there are a lot of fans around the country that are pretty upset that they lost. And then there are other fan bases that are just happy to get a win. That would include the L.A. Chargers, who I thought played pretty poorly in the first half of that game and was just fighting to get to halftime adjustments. I mean, Harbaugh and Herbert wanted to end the first half and get in the locker room and clean it up. They were able to do that. So you tip your cap for their adjustments in the game. But if you found a way to win week one and were fortunate to do it, I mean, who played well week one? The Saints played well. Baker Mayfield and the Bucs played well. There was just a handful of teams. Denver didn't look good at all. And as you go around the league, there are a lot of coaches scratching their heads saying, what happened? I think a lot of that had to do around the NFL for lack of preparation. If you don't play your starters, and the Raiders played starters a bit in the preseason, some teams didn't play any, but if you don't have yourself ramped up to play your best football week one, you're not going to win week one. I thought the intentions of the Silver and Black coming into that game with the 12 personnel, the install of the two tight ends that we'll talk about with Lincoln Kennedy, a healthy Davante Adams and Jacoby Myers, a Zamir White, and they made a decision on Gardner Minshew to be the starting quarterback in that game. And I thought that was the right decision. If you're going to start the season off, and I know a lot of Raider Nation is split on this, and that's okay. It's okay to want to see Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew and have a strong opinion on that front. But what it came down to is the age of Gardner Minshew and experience, the mobility to get away from Mack and Bosa, that didn't work out well, and just the decision-making for him to maybe make a couple of plays on the road in front of a Raider-friendly environment, and it didn't happen. And remember, Gardner completed 75% of his passes. I mean, that's an incredible number for any quarterback. And he threw some receivers open and made some really good tight window throws. But overall, it was a difficult day for the Silver and Black. So as we take a look at some of the highlights of the game, Jason Horowitz on the call, the voice of the Raiders, along with Lincoln Kennedy, who will join us. Minshew found Alexander Mattison, who came in supposedly for the hot hand, and he scores.
Pistol for Minshew. Sends Myers in motion to the left. Takes the snap. Dumps it out to the flat. Mattison at the 30. Hops over a defender, 25. Into space, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Mattison. Oh, he hopped the defender, and he left the Chargers in their dust on a 31-yard passing touchdown, and the Raiders have a 6-3 lead.
There's a lot of good things that happened there on that play. First off, it was beautiful that Minshew looked to his left. One of the things we talked about with Rich Gannon, and we'll continue to do this, Gannon was elite with the pump fake. Gannon was tremendous in looking off the safety, looking off the corner, just with a look or a pump fake and going the other way. That was vintage Gardner Minshew. He looked the defenders off. He came back to Mattison, who isn't supposed to score on a play like that. That's supposed to be a 10, 11-yard gain. He made an athletic play and scored the touchdown, and the Raiders are in front, and they should have been in front the entire game. After that touchdown, it was clear, it was evident to me that the Raiders were the better team. They struggled on short yardage to start the game off. We'll get into that. But after that play, when they went to the sidelines, everybody looked at each other and said, wow, we can score, and we can score this fast. It's got to be something to build on going forward. Now, as I mentioned, coming down to the end of the first half, as the Raiders have the lead, Gardner turned it over, and before we show you the video and you hear it, because everybody who's listening on the radio, you're going to be able to hear everything. If you're on our YouTube Raiders feed, you'll be able to see it all, which is really cool. This will never happen again. This didn't happen to Gardner Minshew in Pop Warner, high school, college, all the stops in the pros. It was just a fluke of a mistake that the ball came out of his hands and went backwards.
Raiders do have all three timeouts. They're in Chargers territory. Snap. Oh, Minshew lost the
football.
That is a live football. Picked up by the Chargers, and it's lost by the Chargers. Still loose. Bouncing around. LA has it down the near sideline, and he's finally tackled by Colton Miller at the Raiders' 14-yard line.
Yeah, I didn't expect to see Colton Miller have to tackle Khalil Mack in a football game. That's what happened there. So that was a fluke play. That wasn't Gardner Minshew throwing a pick six and hitting some guy right in the rib cage as he's going the other way. That was a fluke mistake. He doesn't make that mistake. He doesn't have a history. No quarterbacks have a history of making that play, and it just happened. Sometimes you see that in cold weather, rain, sleet, snow, and the humidity and the heat at SoFi Stadium probably had something to do with that. And that was the opportunity. To me, that was the ball game. It truly was, because as I keep going back to it, I think the Raiders could have won the game in the first half. Let's assume, which I probably shouldn't, that the Raiders score on that drive. Raiders score on that drive, it's 14-3, and then they get the ball coming out. Chargers end up getting a field goal. Raiders go three and out to start the third quarter, and then the Chargers end up taking the lead. J.K. Dobbins with an explosive run for this touchdown.
Second down and three. Again, three tight ends on the field for the Chargers. Herbert under center and the eye to Dobbins, showing patience. Breaks through at the 30, 35, 40. Dobbins off to the races. Epps giving chase at the 30. Dobbins to the 20, and Hobbs finally tracks him down at the 11-yard line.
That can't happen. Those were mistakes up front on the defensive line and linebackers and safety. Gap protection, they all made mistakes on that play. That's something that has to be corrected. I'm not a big fan when coaches say, in any sport, we got to clean it up. That's something that's got to get cleaned up. It's got to get cleaned up. If you line up in the wrong gap, Gannon talked about it with Eric Allen and myself about that. That was just a fundamental breakdown on defense. Okay, it's going to happen. But it can't happen at that point in the game. You're on the road. You're trying to beat an opponent in your division. You cannot make a mistake like that. Nate Hobbs got back in the play there and was able to save a touchdown. And very important, coming up, we're going to get into that. If Nate Hobbs makes that play, gives the Chargers an opportunity, they don't score on that play, to hold the Chargers out of the end zone. Because you knew it was going to be a very tight game. It turned out it wasn't late in the game. And then finally, as we take a look at the big decision, which Raider Nation has been trying to figure out along the way, what were the Raiders going to do? Minshew to Madison. This was a 3rd-and-7 play that came up a bit short.
Down to 5 on the play clock. Cody Whitehair turns to talk to Gardner. Claps his hands, gets the snap, pressure coming. Looking downfield, finds Madison out of the backfield. Gets away from one tackler at 50, across the 45, and he's right there at the marker. Maybe a yard shy at the 43.5 yard line. It's going to be 4th-and-1 for the Raiders, Lincoln. You got to go for this with 7:45 to go.
You got to go for it with 7:45 to go, because maybe if you punt it away, you might get another possession, but it won't be with much time. You have to go for this midfield.
And now they're changing their mind, Link. The punt team is switching with the offense, and A.J. Cole's going to try and pin the Chargers back deep.
Well, you hear the Raider Nation doesn't like the decision, and the Chargers are going to go safe.
Very interesting. I had not heard that call. I was here in the building when it happened, and I did not hear Jason Horowitz and Lincoln Kennedy on the call saying you got to go for it there. I thought they should have went for it there. Antonio Pierce, will talk to him coming up in about a half hour on the decision on not to go for it there. I thought in real time that the only way the Raiders were going to win the game at that point is they had to steal the game. I thought they were better in the first half, and they didn't finish the first half. And in the second half, just a play like that's a good example. Why not one more yard? They couldn't get it. So they're in these tough situations here where they didn't execute. So I believed at that moment that the only way the Raiders would win that game is they'd have to steal the game. They were getting outplayed in the second half. The Chargers are giving you an opportunity to take the game back. Right now they're giving it to you, saying that you can go back, even though we're about to beat you. We sense we're going to beat you. We'll give you one more chance to go for it. And the Raiders didn't go for it. And I understand why he didn't go for it. A lot of coaches in this league would pin an opponent back if they have a good defense. He trusts the defense more than the offense, obviously. The offense was no doubt a struggle in the game. The offense couldn't run the ball on 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1. And the hesitation there not to go for it is a concern. And that concern has to go away today in this building. As they have the day off on Tuesday and the players are back on Wednesday, everybody needs to look in the mirror and say, if we're ever in that situation again, trailing by a score, on the road or at home at Allegiant Stadium, and we got an opportunity to go win the game, maybe a game we're not deserving of winning, we got to go steal the game back. And I understand what Coach did. We backed the coach. We're in the building. We backed the coach. Not a shock there for everybody watching and listening. But that hurt, because I think the Raiders at that time, what disappointed me the most is they didn't have a play ready. They didn't have a play ready that was an automatic first down. And when you have Devontae Adams, Jacoby Myers, Michael Mayer, Brock Bowers, you got to find a way to throw the ball 2 yards. And they weren't able to do that. Here's head coach Antonio Pierce after the game.
Yeah, field position, defensively, punter. We got what we wanted. We got him backed up. We got 3 timeouts there. Play good football, get the ball back, half court, as we call it, offense, midfield, hopefully. But they broke off a long run, and that was the end of it.
I'm good with that because he's accountable. One thing about this coach, there's many things about this coach that I like a lot. He's very accountable, and he owns everything, and it didn't work out that way. And will it change his decision going forward? We'll find out going forward what the Raiders are going to do. Lincoln Kennedy is going to join us coming up here in a little bit. We'll talk to him about what he saw in the booth, what he would do differently, and the offensive line. Because Jackson Powers Johnson wasn't ready to go. He was inactive. Cody Whitehair played. I thought that Colt Miller was outplayed by Khalil Mack, but Khalil Mack's outplayed other great players. But this offensive line needs a wake-up call right now, because they're going into Baltimore, and that is a backyard bully. Baltimore will fight anywhere in that town in Baltimore, and the Raiders are going to have to be ready to play. So Lincoln Kennedy will join us and Antonio Pierce. Look at this. We are in this beautiful, beautiful studio here, and we're excited to be here every Wednesday. If you want to give me a follow on YouTube, it's JT the Brick YT, the days that we aren't in here, and you can jump in on that. And we want to hear your suggestions. We want to have a lot of fun, and hopefully the Raiders get back on the winning way, and we can talk about some victories coming up here. But this is going to be a really unique test coming up against Baltimore, coming off their loss to Kansas City. 9 days off, they're a wounded animal. And they're going to be ready to roll. And this is going to be a physical game. And maybe exactly what the Raiders need. To have their back up against the wall already in week two and have to come out fighting. Live from Raiders headquarters, JT here on Raider Nation Radio and the simulcast on the Raiders YouTube channel. JT in studio at Raiders headquarters. Lincoln Kennedy will join us here in a little bit as we are recapping what happened for the Raiders in Los Angeles against the Chargers. But more importantly, on Wednesday, we move on. By Wednesday, we move on. I host a post game after the game. Then we do Monday, Tuesday. Wednesday, we turn the page and we look at the next opponent, which will be the Baltimore Ravens. Ravens lost to Kansas City in week one, 27-20. Now, what's interesting in that game, when you win that game, you get a bye week. So it's nice to have a bye week early in the season. If you win on Thursday night and that game goes to the home of the world champs, Kansas City, if you win that game, then you get a bye week, week one. That's pretty cool. If you lose it, like the Ravens, you got to be really upset, stewing the loss for a long time before you get back to your home opener. Now, the Raiders have to go into Baltimore for Baltimore's home opener. I would say that that's one of the toughest venues to play on the road for a team's opener. I put Buffalo up there, no doubt about it. But Raiders went to Buffalo last year. Baltimore, Raiders are familiar with Kansas City. They were the last team to beat Kansas City. So I would say Baltimore is a tougher test because of travel and the earlier start than Kansas City. And Kansas City is a tough environment, but Baltimore is unique because we're not there all the time. Raiders won the first ever game without fans against Baltimore at Allegiant Stadium, if you remember that game, and beat Lamar Jackson. And I was talking to someone in the building today about this game. Look, we all know the Raiders are a 10-point underdog, and the Raiders are coming off what I thought was a poor performance. But I think this is a moment for the Raiders and the organization and the players and the coaches to let it all out, to go out there and have a big game. I mean, they haven't played a football game in a long, long time. Other than L.A., and you go back to the new year. So if you go back to the end of the year and the positive notes at the end of last season, putting 63 up on the Chargers, you know, fighting to get in the back door of the playoffs, Antonio Pierce going from interim head coach to permanent head coach, there are a lot of good things that happen at the end of last year. When this team doesn't make the playoffs, this team is defined by championships and going to the playoffs, not 8 or 9 wins. And they had a lot to build on because of the coach. And they brought in a new GM in Tom Telesco and the draft of Brock Bowers and free agents and who they were able to bring in. Christian Wilkins, one of the best players in all of football. So when they had a lot to be positive about the offseason, but it's a long offseason, really long. And then you got to open up on the road against both the Harbaugh brothers. Wow. I mean, Roger didn't do us any favors around here saying you're going to. Oh, you know the odds of opening up against both Harbaugh brothers back to back on the road? I can see if you get one Harbaugh brother at home and one on the road. Both of them on the road. So we knew this for quite some time that this was going to be tough sledding. And the best case scenario would be the Raiders being 1-0, heading into Baltimore, playing with house money, a Vegas term, playing loose. You already got a win, you're going to come home for your home opener. Worst case scenario, you're 1-1. Now the Raiders have no choice but to have to go win this game. And that's where we're going to spend a lot of time on the rest of this show and the rest of the week on Raider Nation Radio and trying to actually figure out how the Raiders can put together a game plan that can win this game and keep it close. And I'm torn with that right now because I know the weapons that the Raiders have. I know exactly who they have and who's ready to go. And when you look at who's ready to go and this, I believe, potential with elite playmakers, I think you got to empty out the playbook. I said yesterday on the broadcast, you know, go into the safe and find the plays that worked in the 60s, 70s, 80s, the 90s, the 2000s. Find the best plays that were run to Jerry Rice, Tim Brown, Dave Casper, Fred Biletnikoff, Cliff Branch. Run those plays. All right, we get it. You got Davante Adams, and Davante Adams is an elite player. I think he's one of the top five players at the position. There's no debate on that. Devontae's got to get more than five or six targets. He has to. Now, you would say to yourself, do you want to run the ball in this game and take the air out of the ball? I think a really good debate topic. I think that's a really important topic now. What do you do? Do you want to run it or do you want to throw it? Let's turn to the Raiders game day crew to hear what they had to say.
The Raiders run game does have to be better because obviously this is going to be a run first kind of offense that sets up the play action pass. But there were good moments. There were some chunk plays that were productive. And Alexander Mattison, you know, was one of them.
Yes. And I tell you one thing that Gardner said earlier that, hey, why was a lot of checkdowns? Because there's two high safeties. There are two high safeties because no one right at this moment respects our running game.
Exactly.
So if that running game starts going, now we'll see that safety come down to the box, and that's when we can utilize the play action pass and all that. But until we're able to kind of get to the line of scrimmage and do this consistently, this is great here. We just got to do it consistently to really make the defense respect it and bring that safety in the box.
Can I give a suggestion?
What? What's that?
You're allowed to.
Because I think that the personnel that we have screams, let's pass this football.
Okay.
Let's spread people out. Well, you have two really good tight ends.
Okay.
You have two really good receivers in Davante Adams and Jacoby.
Yeah.
Then you get a third receiver in DJ.
Mm-hmm.
Let's spread people out and let's see how they defend us and let's throw the ball. Not only that, when you spread people out, you still get a light box to where we can run this football and you don't have a lot of people in the box. I just don't want us to get caught up in that we're trying to ground and pound and play action pass when our personnel says, hey, man, we don't have a big time back like a big name back like like Josh Jacobs.
Okay.
Let's spread people out. Let's throw the ball. Let's create a light box and let's run it.
Okay, so if we spread them out, are we spreading them out with 11 personnel or are we going to stay with our 12 personnel package?
I'm saying both. If we go 12 personnel, let's spread our tight ends out. Mm-hmm. Our tight ends are fast enough and big enough so people got to guard us. If you want to leave your nickels out there, you want to leave your corners, they're not big enough for us.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to bring your linebackers in there and the linebackers are outside the box, then let's tote the rock.
Right.
But let's spread them out. And then not only that, if we go three wide and we put Brock out wide, we at four wide, we can still tote the rock.
Yeah.
I'm saying I think our personnel screams, let's spread out, and then we can run the ball. But let's think past this thing first.
But even you're, relying on pass protection and a strong offensive line at that point and Gardner Minshew's arm.
But when you spread people out, that's just an extension of the run game.
Because really
now
is.
You go quick game.
Yeah.
Right? Don't hold the ball. Let's go quick game. We four wide. We can have an opportunity to go quick game.
So I understand that, and that's a great point. But if you go quick game, is that Gardner Minshew's strength to be in a quick game, being able to throw the ball from one side of the hash back to the other side, even though it's a quick game, and being able to get those all the receivers involved without being the kind of quarterback who's outside the pocket? Because that's pocket passer.
Isn't that more of Aiden O'Connell's game? But the reason why Gardner Minshew wins the job is because he fit more into what Antonio Pierce is trying to do, which is this run-first identity. But if they go to what JJ's saying,
but dropping bleed.
But all I'm saying is we got to believe our eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
Our eyes told us today we got bullied in the trenches. That's just what it said. We up here with the Raiders logo behind us, but that's what it said. We got beat down in the trenches today. So that might not be our strong suit.
We
might want to try to spread some people out, get the ball out of the quarterback's hands, and then come running the ball downhill. Because today, when we had a bunch of people in the box and on the line of scrimmage in jumbo formation, we ain't get a lot of action.
We didn't.
I know, JJ, you made a point earlier that Brock Bowers – and Davante Adams are your two best pass catchers. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who has more targets, but they have to be the most targeted.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't you think that Davante Adams would have to be the most targeted? And the fact that he didn't catch a pass and he wasn't targeted until 2 minutes left in the first quarter, again, he's a rhythm guy.
Yeah, but they had a out and up for him early. It just didn't work out. So they have some
things. Oh, I didn't see that one. I thought it wasn't the first target.
They have to. I mean, Devontae's that kind of player. You know, he's a Jerry Rice kind of guy. Where I don't think they have enough. Like, when you would go into the game with Jerry, they would script the first 15, and he would have, like, seven of them. Mm-hmm. So no you doubt, knew that as a defensive back. He would have, like, seven
trying
of them.
To get him in
slant,
rhythm.
Out, you know, backside,
that's
stop
what I'm saying.
Route.
Shouldn't it be
they
more like that?
They need that with Devontae. I don't care what team Devontae's on. They need that aspect, and I just don't think they have that right now because of the identity they're trying to create with the physical presence of running the football. And I agree with you about being able to spread out, because I think we can. Yeah. But if you do that, are we changing a quarterback? After this whole process we've went through, are you changing the quarterback?
I think you see if Gardner Minshew can do it. Uh-huh. But when you get into these jumbos formations and you only have two wide receivers out there, you know what that allows the defense to do?
Yeah.
Run the safety over Davante Adams.
Exactly.
If we're in four wide receivers, you can't consistently run the safety over Davante Adams, and he can get the football in his hands. And blame me if I'm wrong, but Jacoby Myers is one of the best number two receivers in the game.
Oh, he got game.
That was fantastic. That's exactly what we needed to hear from James Jones, Amber Theo Harris, and Eric Allen. In the first game, the Raiders couldn't establish the run at all. They lost the battle of the trenches. Look at the stats of Khalil Mack and Bosa. Max played well as always. Guys play well up front. But the Chargers' defensive line got the push on the Raiders' offensive line. You got to go four wide. You've got to spread this out a bit. You have to. This is a team. I go back to the history of this organization. There was one time where they had two Pro Bowl tight ends on the field at the same time, Dave Casper and Raymond Chester. That happened in the 70s, and that was a different era where you ran the ball pretty much all the time. And the MVP and one of the greatest players of all time was Ken Stabler. And when he threw, he was able to throw pinpoint accuracy. And I'm not comparing Gardner Minshew to Ken Stabler. But what I'm saying is everybody thought the Raiders were going to run because they had Art Shell and Gene Upshaw. They had great potential Hall of Famers, Henry Lawrence, when Jim Otto, may he rest in peace. By the way, we dedicate the energy of this show to Jim Otto. Got to stop the show and say that. We have an historic day today with this stream. I got to mention Jim Otto, Sally Otto, the family that lit the torch. I love and miss Jim Otto. May Jim Otto rest in paradise, one of the greatest people I've ever met in my life. Back to the Raiders in that game. You got to figure out what you're going to be. This organization, this team, had all summer long to figure out what they wanted to do. They know what they want to do. They want to run 12 personnel, two tight ends. They want to be a bully. They want to run play action. They want to run the ball with Zamir White hard. Hard. And then bring a safety in the box and then have Devontae, Jacoby, Michael Mayer, Bauer, and Trey Tucker. I talked to a Hall of Famer about this topic. Hall of Famer, Gold Jacket. What are we doing with Trey Tucker? Trey Tucker's got to run deep routes in the first half. You have got to throw the ball to Trey Tucker twice in the first half of every game. So to let the defensive coordinator know, let the safeties know, and most importantly, as Eric Allen said, let the cornerbacks know that there's a chance you're going to go deep. They didn't stretch the field. The Chargers defenders never once thought that a Raider was going to get behind them. They didn't throw the ball in the end zone the entire game. So what happened here, it was a fluke turnover by Gardner Minshew. I'm not blaming Gardner on the ball that slipped out. That was a fluke. But the fact was, the team was not in attack mode. And you can look at it for two reasons. Why weren't they in the attack mode? Well, maybe the game plan said run the ball. Okay, you lost the game. You had a good game plan. It was to run the ball. You got beat. Tip your cap, you got beat. Or maybe when the game started to evolve, the Raiders weren't confident in their passing game yet because they just saw it from field level and they didn't think they could get it going. You know, Eric Allen said something brilliant there, and I never heard him say that. That's why this show's important, because we can hopefully take you behind the scenes. Eric Allen said that when they Raiders scripted plays for Jerry Rice, the first 15 plays, Jerry got seven. Do the same thing with Devontae. Who cares what they know? Who cares what Baltimore knows, Carolina? Who cares what Denver thinks? the first 5, 6, 7 plays of the first 12 to 15, just go to Devontae. Now, of course, if Devontae's double-teamed and Brock Bowers, and you got this really cool play to Brock, where Brock catches the ball in the backfield, run the play. Run the plays that you run in Henderson. But I think what's going to be interesting going forward, and especially this game, is that the Raiders need to make a decision. Who are they? They didn't make that decision in Los Angeles in front of 70% Raider fans in that game. They didn't make that decision. I think they went into the game with a strong game plan, and they got beat because the Chargers were able to say to themselves on the back end, Derwin James, man, they're not throwing. Lincoln Kennedy joins us, the legendary tackle for the Raiders, also an analyst for the Raiders in the booth. And Link, you probably heard me. I was really upset about what the Raiders could have done and they didn't do. Were they hesitant? How'd you see the game plan, and why didn't they take advantage of those scoring opportunities and the opportunity to put that game away at halftime?
Well, first of all, it's good to be with you guys. I will say this. It's one of those things where you say, wish, could have, would have, all that stuff. The fact is, the Raiders don't have an identity right now, offensively. They don't have an identity. It hasn't been established. Look, JT, you and I have talked extensively when it comes to where these Raiders are. The fact is that this team needs to establish its identity, and it's hard to do it because you have a lot of moving pieces in a different direction. And what I mean by that is the fact that you have offensively, Raiders are already established defensively. Offensively, you know the Raiders want to run the football. They want to establish a passing game. They've got weapons. They have not yet to use it. The fact is, this last game against the Chargers, this was the first time this offensive line played together. That says something about the identity when it comes to this team. And you think about it, you want to talk about it. We can't talk about it. The fact is, when you don't have preseason ball, when you don't have regular season ball, it's all a fact that you're trying to put these pieces together at one time. And where do you go from there? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. You made an interesting point about this offense not playing together, and they were going to figure it out with Whitehair. We wait for JPJ. Colt Miller came back. Certainly. I thought they handled that well. Thayer Mumford had a little bit of a battle with Glaze in the preseason. He won that. And then you're going to go with James and Parham there. So you kind of know what you got here, Lincoln. And look, this is just one game, and the Chargers are pretty stout up front. So before I get your analysis on Baltimore going forward, I didn't hear the audio until we just played it of you and Jason in the booth on right. That critical fourth down. It was evident to you to go for it there, and I said go for it there because they're letting you back in the game. You think you can win the game on defense, you're not sure. The Chargers, if you can get that first down, maybe make them use their timeouts. Right. That could have been the difference. How'd you say it?
Yeah, well, I'm going to give Coach AP a little slack here because this is his first time as a head coach in this position. Look, there's no manual that's out there how to be a head coach in the National Football League. There's no manual on what you need to do at this particular time. It's one of those things where you look like a genius when you make it, you do it, and it doesn't work. You look like a buffoon when it doesn't. It is what it is. My thing is this, is that when it comes to Coach AP, look, you've got people that are around you that are telling you how to coach. Doesn't always happen at that moment, that instance. I thought Coach AP should have gone for it. That's just my thought. I didn't mind that he didn't. It is what it is. But the thing is, going forward, you learn how to do those things as a head coach, if you know what I mean, Jay. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Yeah, Lincoln Kennedy's our guest. Let's move to the Ravens. And I got this all or nothing attitude with this game. I mean, I'm all in. It's open up the offense and showcase your superstars.
Yeah.
Are you going to run the ball against Roquan Smith? You're going to try to. You're going to run the ball right up the pile, right in the middle? You're going to try to? Okay. But what about the opportunity to let Minshew play the type of game he likes? Where is the rollout? Move the pocket, attack, short passing game, Link. I want your analysis of seeing the Ravens.
I honestly believe, JP, I honestly believe, you know, that Minshew does not have the confidence in this offensive line to where you sit back there and survey the field. Does it make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense because you know the game and you are a legendary player. But I mean, do you have Bowers and Mayer for this reason? I'm Lincoln, I'm talking about third and four. I'm not talking about third and 18.
I get it.
Just get the ball out. Because I think Minshew, if he gets the ball out, can make a lot of plays, and he can make a bundle of plays on a drive. He can have a 12-play drive, but he's got to get everybody going.
Well, much like the defenses, much like the offenses are playing against us, they're not going to allow you to have those short throws. So you're going to take those away. Defenses that are playing the Raiders know that you want to get the ball out of your hands quickly, so we're going to take those early throws away. That's why you have to open up the things, the opportunities for the offense on the next level. But that's when it also comes for a quarterback to be more comfortable with what he has in his offensive line and be able to trust you'll be able to run routes down the field.
Lincoln, tell me about Lamar Jackson. I mean, you've called so many great games. You're such a great broadcaster. When you go into a building like that on the road and you get up there and you just know, I know you like to get on the field for a little bit and see a player like Lamar Jackson. He's one of the all-time greats in being a balanced quarterback who can throw it and run it exceptionally well.
He is a balanced quarterback, but he has a tendency to want to turn over the football. Mm. And it's not so much it's not so much interceptions as it is fumbles. So if this defensive front can get to him, there's an opportunity for a turnover football.
You know, Lincoln, I think these are the games, and as we wrap this up in a few moments, I wanted to get your opinion on when you're going into the belly of the beast. That's why whenever I was in Oakland or on the road, I used to love to watch you warm up 10 yards at a time right before kickoff. You didn't want anybody near you. No one came near you. You did your little walk, and the other team saw it. They said, oh, my God, we got to go up against Lincoln Kennedy today. And you know, Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and the history of the Ravens, that is not an easy place to win. What mindset does Coach Pierce need to give this team and Max as they leave the tunnel?
Better than they had against the Chargers. This is not a 50-50 flip. This is not a gimme. You have to go in there and take what you want. This is up to the team to find and establish it themselves. And look, when you talk about identity, because you and EA talked about that earlier, I don't think the Raiders are there yet. They don't know their true identity. You have to figure it out. It's going to be a sort of a compilation through errors. But I'm hoping they can find the light in the tunnel sooner rather than later when it comes to playing against these Baltimore Ravens.
Thank you, Link. You're the best. Look forward to talking to you every week. Appreciate you.
Always a pleasure, brother.
You got it. Lincoln Kennedy. Great. Great to have Lincoln Kennedy on. There are not many men that I respect as much as Lincoln Kennedy. I mean, we've been friends a long time. I've had the privilege of covering his career as a player. And he's a better guy off the field, and he was a nasty player, man. He's exactly what the Raiders need. And the Raiders have that with Christian Wilkins. They have that with Max Crosby. They have that with an array of players on this roster. But what made Otto and Upshaw and Shell and Lincoln and Mo Collins and certain players different is that on game day, they brought a nasty edge to them for 60-plus minutes. They were completely focused on the ability to play violent, angry, not make mistakes, and do whatever they needed to do for their teammates. And Lincoln is really on the top of that list. Man, I love talking to that guy. And you'll hear Lincoln Kennedy and Jason Horowitz on the broadcast on Compass Media Networks. They do a great job. Eric Allen and myself will be on the pregame show with Tim Cates. We have a lot of fun doing that because we're not here until, we're not back in Vegas until the Carolina game, which will be the home opener coming up here. And I know a lot of Raider Nation wants to get back to Vegas and get in the building. It would be nice to be 1-1. And for the Raiders really to build big momentum. But Raider Nation is coming in big for the home opener. And for everybody watching, thanks for joining us as we continue. We're going to have the head coach coming up here in a few minutes as we're on YouTube, on the Raiders YouTube feed. The other days of the week, I'm on my YouTube at JT the Brick YT. You can get into the show via X, Twitter at JT the Brick. I'll read some comments here. And then next hour, we'll have Vinny Bonsignore, who will join us from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. And then we're going to have Levi Edwards, who's really good, on the digital team. He joins me a lot in what he's writing about and his analysis there. I don't like the Ravens. I don't like anybody other than the Raiders much. I want to see the Raiders really play a great game. They didn't play a great game in week one. Most of the league didn't, including teams that won. They played poorly. Now everybody's got no excuse. You get a week to clean it up. The Ravens had a little bit longer to clean it up because they played on Thursday Night Football. but the Raiders have nothing to lose going into this game, and that'll be our analysis going forward. What wrinkles can they show in this offense? What can they do on defense? You know, it's next man up when it comes to defensive end, right, as we wait for Malcolm Kuntz, who's on IR for the first four games of the year. But Max Christian, John Jenkins, Diablo Spillane, Nate Hobbs, and that secondary led by Epps and Trayvon Merrick, they got to play big. You get a few chances in your life to play Lamar Jackson. You better be at your best, and the Raiders are going to have to do that. When we come back, the head coach of the Silver and Black, Antonio Pierce, joins us live in studio on Raiders Rundown. We welcome in head coach Antonio Pierce. And, Coach, it was a short trip back from L.A. for the team coming off the loss. How's the team reacted this week?
Good. Ready to move on.
Okay.
Plain and simple.
Excellent. Let's go back to the game and the short rushing yardage issue early in the game. How'd you address that with the offensive line? You got a lot of playmakers up front.
Yeah, I mean, that's not our identity. You know, we want to keep the chains moving. You know, second one, third one, fourth ones. You know, when we run the ball, we expect to make those. And it wasn't good enough. And obviously, that's something we got to clean up throughout the week. And we've done a good job of it. You know, I think the coaches addressed it today in the meetings. And obviously, we got a big running back there. We're good up front. It's a mentality thing, right? We got to get out of that. Training camp's over, fellas. Yeah. Preseason's over, right? It's week one, and obviously didn't go the way we wanted.
You addressed punting late in the game, and did that have a lot to do with what was happening on short yardage or just the opponent?
A lot of factors. I mean, we backed up the Chargers twice in that game, got three and outs on both of them. Mm-hmm. You know, and the strength of our team, let's be honest, you know, is A.J. Cole and our defense. And that's what I relied on late in the game. Felt like we could get a three and out and get the ball back and give our offense another opportunity with three timeouts and, you know, let the game go the way the Raiders wanted to go. It just didn't happen, and, you know, you live with it.
The film on Gardner, he completed 75% of his passes. He threw some guys open, and there were a couple of big throws where guys were wide open. What's encouraging about that? The turnover was very fluky. He's played his whole life, hasn't had a turnover like that. So that'll get cleaned up. But overall, what was good that came out of his performance?
I mean, I really like the explosives that we had in the passing game. You know, that's something that we talked about. You know, you saw, I think, 6-plus 20-yard completions down the field, a lot of yak. Even one more, though. I think we've all our skill guys, Brock Bowers, Jacoby, Tay, all felt like, man, we left some yards out there. You know, we got to strain to get those extra yards in a game like that. I think it's very promising again. And I'm going to go back to the first question, right? If we get that run game going with that passing game, the offense could be what we think it could be.
Brock is explosive, and everybody's talking about him before that game. He had to feel great because he's all ball, right? He's not going to talk pre- and post-game much. What'd you say to him after the game and his first performance?
Well, I can tell you he was nervous. Yeah. I don't care how many games you played in SEC and college football. So different in week one in National Football League. And you can see it. But I think what we all saw was the ability to make some tough catches, the ability to run after the catch, put his head down. And I think it was just a great opening week for him, mm-hmm. To kind of get those butterflies and, you know, those that anticipation and stuff out of your system and then move forward. And listen, it's football. Just like I told him earlier this week, hey, man, it's football. You belong in the National Football League, you're going to be a really good football player, and we just need to keep growing on that.
One player I want to point out before we get to Baltimore was Nate Hobbs. He's on the field a lot. And in a game like that, he came up and stopped the run, and he made some big pack tackles. He had to go chase plays down. What did you see with Nate in that game?
I thought Nate did it all. He blitzed him. He had some hits on the quarterback, run fits, physical player. And to me, two of the best plays he had in the game was those hustle plays down the field to save those two touchdowns. On the two longest plays of the game, right? The two plays that we got popped on that went over 100 yards. Nate gave us another opportunity to go out there and play defense. And we did. You know, one time he held the field goal, and obviously the other one was a touchdown. But I just thought that Nate's effort, his mindset, his physicality, I mean, you can't ask for a better person in that role than Nate Hobbs.
So Lamar had 273 in the air, 122 on the ground. Pretty impressive, and he lost to Kansas City. They've had 9 days off plus. When you've seen him, and you've broken down film before, and I want to get to you as a player a little later on, what do you see with him in that first game that really impresses you as you prep?
Yeah, when the game's on the line, he's going to keep the ball. Yeah. Right? Everything's going to go through him, either through the air or through his legs. And it's difficult. You know, when the best player on the field is touching the ball each and every snap, and he has the speed and probably the fastest guy on the field at all times. But what you see is a guy who's been an MVP, was just MVP last year, on the best team in football, and his ability to will his team really to the last seconds of that ball game last week against Kansas City. But what you see is a guy who's, you know, slimmed down. He looks quicker. He looks faster. Nice deep ball. You know, they have some skilled players down there that, you know, can threaten you vertically. Obviously, you know, they lost the game. They're going to be really, you know, fired up at home, their first home game. So, obviously expecting the best of them. But, I mean, you talk about, you know, the one of the best players in the National Football League.
Likely had 12 targets. Zay Flowers had 10. So he can take shots deep downfield, and they love that two tight end set, too. They got playmakers at that position.
Yeah, between Andrews and Likely, like you said, two guys that really kind of like mirror what we want to look like, right?
Exactly.
And they're little older players. But, you know, what you hit on it, you know, you think of Baltimore, run, and every once in a while they just kind of sprinkle that on you, and they're throwing the ball, and they're taking shots, and they're getting these explosive plays. And they did that in the passing game, and that's dangerous. I think that's why it's going to be really important up front that, you know, we establish – control the line of scrimmage, right? Everybody says win, do this, dominate. No, no. We just got to control the line of scrimmage because they're going to make plays. There's going to be opportunities there for us to also make plays and punch at the ball, and we have to do that. We have to create turnovers and change the field for our offense.
Before you became a head coach and you were an elite linebacker and you went up against players like this, there weren't many, right? In any era, there's not many Lamars. There's a Michael Vick, Steve Young you go back to. What did you learn about eye discipline as a defender linebacker when you're looking at the quarterback knowing he can run but guys can get behind you? What's that like?
Yeah, I came out the same year as Michael Vick. We were the same class, 2001, and went up against him several times, and that was always the biggest pain, right? Because right away you tell your defensive line and guys rushing, don't run past the quarterback. Don't create these, you know, B-gap and A-gap lanes for him to step up and run, because that puts stress on me as a linebacker. I'm in zone coverage. I'm anywhere from 10 to 14 yards deep. All of a sudden, I'm getting a threat of a quarterback stepping up in a pocket. What do I do? Do I stay in coverage? Do I go attack him? I think that's going to be the key part. And that's why, you know, Patrick Graham and the guys downstairs doing a great job of just talking team football, right? It can't be the Max Crosby show.
Yeah.
Right? It can't be the Robert Spillane show or Christian Wilkins. We have to do it collectively. You know, everybody on every level of our defense has to just do their job. And sometimes, and really when you watch Lamar, plays just come to you because of how he moves around the pocket. But it's very difficult. And as a player, those were the guys that were the guys that were, you didn't look forward to playing, right? McNabb, Vick. It was like, oh, man, here we go. You know, this dual threat opportunity. And then with the ability to throw the ball down the field like we're talking about with Lamar makes it very, 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 very difficult on defense.
But the ball might come out. And you've been able to knock balls out when you played, and you got guys here who can do it. If it's Devine, if it's Spillane, how important is it to get two or three hats on the ball and try to knock it out?
Yeah, listen, if he's going to carry the ball 12 times and turn into a runner, then we need to treat him accordingly, right? We need to put our hat on the ball or punch at the ball. We've seen that throughout the week. We did a poor job of that in week one, something we're really stressing this week. Lamar has 35 career fumbles. We need more coming up in week two.
Coach, the rivalry, as we've talked about this, I mean, Ted Hendricks played for the Colts and the Raiders, right? You go back to Johnny Unitas. You walk through the history of this building, young building here. This is an injury. They went from Cleveland to Baltimore, but when they were the Baltimore Colts, that is a rabid football town, and a lot of Raider fans are treating that as their only East Coast trip. There's no Buffalo, the Giants, or the Jets this year. Right. A lot of fans in that corridor that are going to make it to this game.
Yeah, no, I mean, good old-school football here, right? Yeah. Like I told our guys today, hard hat mentality. Right, you know, get an ice, you know, ice pack, get a, you know, some Tylenol, some Advil, just strap it up, man, because it's going to be a battle. Obviously, two teams who lost their opening week last week, they're having their opening game against us. They'll be motivated. We'll be motivated. And again, at the end of the day, how many people are picking the Raiders? Probably not many, right? That's a good mindset for us going into this game.
Love it. Good luck, Coach.
Thank you.